What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a number of different things related to Disney. We're going to be talking about some new Toy Story pop vinyls. We're going to be talking about a Pandora album that just got released. We're also going to be talking about a new Marvel game, even an Alien video game that was announced, and a little bit more. So before we jump into that, just remember to hit that subscribe button on whichever audio or video platform you are watching or listening this on. And let's kick off. So, James, so first off, let's get the big news out the way. Toy Story pop vinyls. Let's get this one done, because I know you were very thrilled with these ones, weren't you?
I mean, I'm thrilled with all pop vinyls equally. So, yes, of course, I'm extremely thrilled with these.
Yes,
but I mean, it's that's the wrong tab. There we go.
Yeah,
there we go. I do like, I have to admit, Slinky Dog and Wheezy. But yeah. I think that's more because when it comes to the pop vinyls, the ones that look more normal, they tend to go like BB-8, R2-D2 over on the Star Wars side. They actually kind of appeal to me because they basically look like they do from every other one.
Yeah.
It's when you get down here and as you're scrolling, you got like Bo Peep and I think Mrs. Nisbet.
Yeah,
up above, not really my thing. But even taking my bias out of it,
yeah,
these are pretty cool. There's a lot of detail to these. The Woody one in particular, we got up on screen right now. That's solid.
Yeah, the Woody one is the one. I think I'm gonna pick that one up. I think that one definitely stands out the most. It's kind of funny, really, because over Christmas my nephew got an RC racer from Toy Story. It did look exactly the same. So we did spend half an hour just running around with RC racer, where I did chuck some toys on the top of it and drive it around. So I think that might be that thing of like, that's literally a recent memory of playing with RC racer. So that might be, but that one just did jump out at me. The rest of them, Slinky Dog was okay. Wheezy, like you say, I will admit, I'm kind of the same where I like sort of the more, like you said, the ones that the characters look good rather than just the same head with the same eyes, and it could literally be any character, because they is that kind of thing, isn't it? Some of them can look a bit too similar.
Yeah, and I think that's especially true the more human you get. Like when you look at, say, the Stranger Thing things pop vinyls, and just like it's a person wearing the t-shirt from one of the characters. There's nothing really distinctive about most of them. There's exceptions, of course, but for the most part, it's a person wearing a t-shirt. And then that's the exact same as, any other television or movie that's primarily just normal humans talking, whatever. They look the same. And it's when you start getting, Slinky Dog, Wheezy, R2, BB-8, even C-3PO, stuff like that. You're like, oh yeah, okay, this is very identifiably this character. And I kind of appreciate that. Now, having said that, Wheezy, unless Wheezy makes some huge appearance in Toy Story 4, I can't really see myself being like, oh, I really need a Wheezy. So,
yeah. But because these are going to be coming out early 2019, so they're going to be out and probably in the next couple of months. It does seem a bit like to me like these are maybe the characters that aren't in Toy Story 4, and so they're kind of doing a double dip on this by getting these out early, and then when Toy Story 4 comes along, we'll get a brand new wave. Because it was the choices like Slinky Dog, Miss Nesbitt, Wheezy. These characters, I don't think Wheezy even in Toy Story 3? I don't remember seeing him the other week when I was watching it.
If he was, it was like a very, very brief like cameo appearance. He definitely didn't have any speaking lines. Mm. I mean, even in Toy Story 2, he's only there in the beginning to be the example of a toy who's been forgotten.
Yeah.
And then at the end so that he can sing the song because mom found the new voice box for him. Yeah. But, I mean, he has iconic moments in the film, but he's not a major character. But I mean, this is something I do like about the Funko Pops, is they don't stick to just the major characters. No. They are more than happy to be like, that character who showed up for like 20 seconds, had half a line, or just disappeared. We're gonna make a pop out of them. Sure, why not? So I do like that about them.
Yeah, I'm just, see, that's kind of one of my rules now with pop vinyls, of just like, only by major characters, only by one or two of each character. Whereas that's so I don't end up going down the Vinylmation line where I ended up with so many random characters. But there was also some keychains as well. I'll be honest, for me, I have the Gladiator Hulk keychain on mine. Oh, that's cool. And actually has seemed to withstand actually living in the real world for, you know, 6 months. Because sometimes you get these key rings, you put them on. So when that one breaks, I'll replace it with another one. But up till that point, I don't know really how many I need of them. Bit of an odd one with them.
Yeah, the key rings are weird. I don't think you're supposed to collect the key rings. I'm sure there are people who collect them because there's a collector for everything. But the key rings really do seem more like one-off things. Like you're supposed to pick up your favorite character and you hang it off either your keychain or maybe like a zipper on your backpack or something like that. But yeah, they're not meant to be collectibles the way the regular Funko Pops are. At least that's my read on it. They might be. There might be a person at Funko going, how do we get more people to collect the key rings? I mean, hey, good luck.
Yeah, it was the same thing with the Vinylmation Juniors as well. That thing of like, I never really kind of grasped collecting them because you couldn't really display them very easily. But nevertheless, these Toy Story ones will be coming out soon. So check out all the information over at thiskingdom.com. Switching gears now, we're going to be going over to the Animal Kingdom in Walt Disney World, where Disney kind of
put out.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Later this week.
Yeah, the nondescript area of India that you could go to. If you're unaware, this was the thing that just blew up over the weekend. There was an interview with Bob Iger. It was kind of actually out just before Christmas, but they just put it out again in like full transcript mode. And he kind of went on about how Expedition Everest, you know, he kind of sort of said, oh, no one really wants to go on a ride that's in some nondescript place like India. People would much rather go on an IP ride, and kind of got load of Disney fans worked up. And I will be honest, I actually decided with him on this, because on one hand I can see why people are taking like, oh, he's throwing this at like in, you know, Everest and all this kind of stuff, but on the other hand I look at it now and going, Disney got so many IPs. You build a brand new roller coaster, they ain't gonna build it now without an IP for a number of reasons. But what did you think of it all?
I mean, I haven't actually followed most of the controversy. I only know the bare bones of it, but I'm kind of half and half on this one. Because on the one hand, I agree with you and Iger, you know, they've got so many IPs. There's really no reason at this point for pretty much any of the rides to not be attached to something. The way he said it was stupid. And I think that's probably what set a lot of people off was the tone was...
Yeah.
Way off, and let's not forgive him for that. But on the other hand, you know, there is a certain amount of tradition to the parks, to a lot of the rides. You know, back in the day, they didn't have IPs; they created IPs, and it is kind of nice every once in a while for Disney to kind of be like, "All right, this ride isn't an IP. This is kind of going back to the original Disneyland style." But as we've talked about many times in the past, the climate at Disney was very different when Disneyland opened up. They had IPs, but they didn't have them in the way that we think of them now. You know, they had Snow White, they had Cinderella, they had Dumbo and all this, but they didn't franchise them. You watch Dumbo and that was it. So maybe you get to go on the Dumbo ride at Disneyland with your kid or something like that, but it wasn't like a major big deal. Now, when you talk about Frozen itself is bigger than some movie studios are. Just productizing Frozen. Yeah. So getting that IP in there, and I'm not saying that that's the IP that would be Everest. It was just the first IP that came to my head, but they treat it much differently. Yeah. So
I also think about that thing of like, why, you know, this thing of, I look at it and go, things like It's a Small World and Tiki Room and Haunted Mansion, like these were rides basically built in the 60s. You think of how many brands they've created since the 60s. And it's that kind of thing of like, with even the 50s, 60s, you kind of get a look at it and go, had they had another 10 IPs under their belt by when they opened, would they have done that? Would they have gone with a fee? And that's where I feel like I don't like this idea of like them using this thing of, oh, you should have more IP, non-IP stuff. It's like, well, and then let's be honest, looking at the last 10, 15 years, I can't really remember very many rides that they've opened Animal Kingdom 20 years ago. I mean, Test Track, I'm surprised.
Test Track, Soarin'. I mean, mostly Epcot, really. Yeah. But even Epcot has been moving over. Like, the ride in Mexico got rebranded with the Three Caballeros. The Norway ride turned into the Frozen ride. They're adding a Mary Poppins ride to the England section. You know, Ratatouille is taking over France. So, yeah, even there, they're kind of moving away from that kind of thing.
The thing is, to me, is it's like, if you're going to build a roller coaster, say you build Everest. Now, I love Everest, so it's not a case of me dissing Everest. I love Everest. But if you put Everest and you put the, I don't know, say you turn it into a Monsters, Inc. ride and the Yeti was actually the one from there, or you turn it into the Incredible Coaster that they've done in California. When they put the logos up on the posters and when they put the advertising out, it sells better with a character in front of it.
And it's absolutely.
And they can sell more merchandise. And it's like the thing of like, I look at it and go, I understand people like original IPs. I'm like, you know, I love all the original IP ones, but I look at it and go, when you're trying to sell the parks to people to go to, it's easier when they've, and you go to Disney to see the characters. I know some people go, oh, we go for the original. It's like, that's a very, very small minority of people. Most people want a pit, you know, when they flick through the website to see what rides there are, you know, Everest doesn't stand out the same as Incredible Coaster. It does, it, to a normal average day person, there is that IP makes a big difference to the selling point.
Well, just remember when Frozen reopened, when the Norwegian, when Maelstrom turned into Frozen, the lines were 6 hours long, 8 hours long, that first couple day, probably first couple weeks at least. It's still a fairly longish wait. I think for the, as far as the Epcot, the world rides go, it's still the longest wait time for the world rides. There's definitely something to be said for branding the rides from the Disney perspective. And I mean, you know, we had the roller coaster in Hollywood. It was a fun roller. It still is a fun roller coaster. But it wasn't creating much buzz. When they re-released it under Pixar Pier, it at least got a sales spike or an admission spike for a while. And I think more people are interested in riding the Incredicoaster than, I can't even remember the original name for it now. But
Screamin', wasn't it?
That's right, the Screamin'. But we also saw this controversy 2 years ago now with the Twilight Zone turning into the Mission Breakout in Disneyland. It's still Twilight Zone in Hollywood Rouse, Studios, but that's for licensing reasons. It'll probably be for a while, but it's still the same ride for the most part. It's slightly different because there's pauses in the middle of the up and downs, which we can debate whether or not that's good another time.
I still like the fact that like that is going to, I mean, it's like going, Twilight Zone is an IP.
It is an IP.
They just don't own.
They don't own the IP, but it was still an IP and it was still identifiable. I do have friends, mostly horror genre fans, who are like, no, I would much prefer it to be Twilight Zone. And I can respect that, absolutely. Yeah. But at the same time, if you are going to be talking to someone and go, we're going to Disney World to do Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, that sounds much more Disney than we're going to Hollywood Studios to do Tower of Terror. It's like, wait, Twilight Zone's not Disney. But I would expect that Aerosmith will be going the same route at some point as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, over in Paris, that's been turned into an Iron Man ride.
Right, exactly.
Which, I'll be honest, yeah, get rid of Aerosmith. It's like, they're not relevant anymore. It's like, I don't know, I kind of, like you said, the way Bob Iger said it didn't come across right, but I get what he means, and it's that thing of like, if you're building a new area, it's like Star Wars land. It's like Star Wars. That's getting all the attention, is bringing on. If it was just a nondescript planet ride with some space stuff, it wouldn't be getting the same attention and it wouldn't bring in the same spike that Star Wars land does.
Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, it's always important to remember too, that Walt Disney himself always wanted these parks to continue to evolve. Now that might've meant something different to him. That might've meant that, you know, Haunted Mansion ends up getting replaced by another new IP rather than by Nightmare Before Christmas or something like that. Not that there's any plans, and if anyone's panicking, I'm just picking something out here. But Yeah, the idea was always the parks would continue to evolve. I think the one ride that will never change is the Jungle Cruise, simply because that was Walt's favorite. So,
yeah, but then even that, I mean, they're basically turning around and turning that into an IP by turning into a movie with The Rock and Emily Blunt. Well,
again,
so we'll just sort of see how that goes. But going back to the Animal Kingdom, this week Disney released an album for Pandora of all the music from the world of Avatar. I was kind of surprised it took this long to come out, because I mean, that park's been open what now, maybe what, 18 months? It's been out a while.
I think it's been a bit longer than that, actually. But it is starting to get to the point where at least both of the Avatar rides, the wait times or your ability to get a fast pass isn't quite as dire as it used to. I mean, it's still pretty bad. I think when I was there last, the good Pandora ride, Flight of Passage, was still at like the 120 minute mark for most of the trip. So, I mean, it's still long, but it's definitely getting shorter. And I'm sure that with Galaxy's Edge coming out, that'll change. But yeah, it took them a while to get this out. But at the same time, I don't think there's a huge market for people who want the soundtracks of the parks.
No.
I mean, I know that they're out there. Some of them are out of print, actually, which is interesting too. But I know they're out there, but I feel like there is like a small subsection of fans who are like, I want to be able to listen to Illuminations anytime I want. I want to be able to hear the river.
I must admit, I do have the Walt Disney World and the Disneyland albums in my car, and I do put them on occasionally. And there is that thing of like, yeah, when you pull up and you pull without your windows and you have got It's a Small World going. Or I remember like having it in the car. My wife got in the car, so I was giving her a lift. So, and she's like, are you listening to ride music? Like Country Bear Jamboree was on or something. It's just like, what are you doing? Why are you listening to this? It's like,
I feel like you could make some...
Yeah, we're going to Disney, so I'm getting in the mood.
I feel like you could make some great YouTube trolling videos of like pulling up to a McDonald's window and just blasting It's a Small World and recording reactions, but don't do that. No. If you're watching this, do not do that. Do not annoy the McDonald's and fast food workers. They have a tough enough job.
Especially when they're just making your food. But it's the only thing with this album got me is it wasn't on Spotify. So I was only able to listen to like the 30-second previews. It all kind of sounds quite nice and kind of ties into all. I do like the fact that they actually brought the guy that did the soundtrack to the movie. He actually made the songs to this, try to make it sound as original to it as possible. So it was a good release. I was hoping that it was going to come to Spotify so I could listen to it. It's that thing of like, it's like yesterday I did a story about World's Greatest Showman album. The best-selling album of the year. So like 1.3 million. And I was sitting there going, 1.3 million in the whole of the US? Doesn't sound a lot.
Well, soundtracks, it's
No, but that's the number one selling album in the US. And then like Star is Born sold like 500,000, and then Justin Timberlake was like 300,000. And it's because basically they put it into it, they just didn't include streaming. This was just
purchasing. All right. Yeah. So it's disingenuous.
And so few people are buying CDs now. When they put it in the streaming stuff, it dropped down into like the top 25 and stuff. But technically it was still I know I bought the CD for my wife. And she's got it in the car. So I'm one of those people that did buy it, but I was just generally just quite surprised at how few, I mean, I think of albums and stuff as streaming, you know, you pop it straight onto Spotify, but it's what shows you why companies like HMV went into administration over Christmas was because of just this thing of people aren't buying physical media. They're saying,
millennials killing CD.
I'm 6 months older than a millennial, so therefore I'm still buying CDs.
I am technically a millennial, so I think I get the cutoff by like a year or so, but it's the best album of 2018. I feel like you and I could drop a mixtape and probably be fine on the album front. All we have to do is pimp that out. All right, so I haven't actually seen The Greatest Showman. I've heard the songs, or at least I've heard several of the songs, and they're quite catchy. I've heard very mixed things about the movie itself, though. So,
my wife loves it. My mum loves it. Our friends, I mean, literally, I think when we were flying out to Florida back in some of my friends, they had it on the plane. They watched it 3 times on the way out to the flight.
I liked it.
I thought it was a great movie, and I think it's got. It was just this kind of thing of it. Just it was an unsurprising success. Of I mean, it technically came out like 2017, but it kind of really picked up for most of 2018. It was great. But it was just kind of quite cool to see that album doing very well for Fox, which obviously then is going to be tying into hopefully very, very soon in the coming weeks of when Disney get hold of it. Okay.
It's just too bad they couldn't have tied it into Dumbo.
Yes. Well, yeah, Dumbo. Dumbo's the next is like out in a few months, and I'm not kind of feeling that movie at all. I don't know quite what that.
We'll see as we get closer with the more trailers. But we were not going to transition into Dumbo. We were going to transition to something else.
Yes. Okay. So let's flip gears now. Let's jump over to some Legos. That's right. Some Lego. We'll do Lego before we jump into doing anything about the new video game. So first of the month means lots of new sets. So Lego, there were for Star Wars, there was nearly a dozen sets. Lots of little sets.
Which I appreciate. I much prefer the little sets. They're cheaper.
The one that really caught my attention was this one here, was the
Inferno Squad.
The Inferno Squad from Star Wars Battlefront 2. I'm really surprised to see this one in here. I mean, the fact you're getting 4 little minifigures and a little vehicle, great. And the fact that as well they did the guards, because there was a set from last year which had the guards in, but it was quite a bit more expensive, and they literally just gone, right, okay, we're just going to give you the minifigures so you can get them cheap. Because it's actually, if you're at, I prefer the normal minifigures. I don't like the microfighters. I found that last year when I bought a few sets, they've got diddy little legs. They're tight, they're a little bit smaller than normal.
Which the microfighters, which ones are we talking about? Are we like Darth Maul? I like those ones. Yeah, yeah. I can see what you're talking
they're
about.
They're only like 8-9 quid, so they're very cheap. And then we got the slightly more expensive ones. So we got this like the Gargon ship or something. It's some weird ship from the Clone Wars that I can't even remember seeing in it. But I do love the fact that you've got 2 droids in there. And then they've got
they include the orange piece for prying other pieces apart.
Yeah, I didn't quite get why they put that in the picture, but nevertheless. Yeah. And then I've we had like this
7 of them.
And then he had another like
a walker.
Walker from there. So that was like the 2 big sets. And then we had a few more little sets again. And also
I have to admit, the little sets here, I know these ones are aimed at kids because they've got the big 4+ logo on them. You can't see it on here, but if you go to the store, you'll see it. I'm actually kind of vaguely interested in them. I'm a little annoyed that the last one, the X-Wing fighter, is $10 more than the other 2 sets. But, you know.
What they've done is they've moved juniors away from the branding. They've just put it like 4+. So it kind of makes sense of what they're doing. I'll be honest, these sets aren't quite pulling me in. I'm probably going to buy the Inferno set and maybe the guard set. These 2, and again, they're going to be about $10-$12. So they're not too
expensive.
But so, I wasn't blown away with these sets.
No, not blown away. I was at the Lego store this week, just kind of browsing. They had most of the sets, but they didn't have the Inferno set, and I would have probably bought that if they had had it. I do wish that they showed a little more variety with the other 3 characters, because, you know, interestingly enough, they're including the woman who didn't even make it into the game because she was killed off in the book. Not talking about Iden, of course. Yeah. One of the other troopers was a woman.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice if they were a bit more distinct. Only Iden got any personalization.
Yeah. Okay, so flicking out, Disney, there was about 6 smaller princess sets. So we've got like Jasmine, Cinderella, and Ariel, etc. I'll be honest, these sets don't appeal to me. They're not the target audience, but they've also got, again, the younger sets that are aimed at 4-year-olds. They are very nice. Things that I'm opening up.
I just kind of wish that they didn't have a separate line for girls. I wish that they just kind of acknowledged that girls like regular Legos too.
Yeah.
And just made them.
Because even the Lego,
like all the others.
It's like, I'd like a normal Ariel Lego figure rather than this one, but. Nevertheless, that's the female. I also like the princess ones. Then we had Marvel. There was only 1 set, which is the Captain Marvel and the Skrull Attack.
It looks great, though.
This one is got 3-4 different characters. You've got Captain Marvel, you've got Skrull, you've got Nick Fury, and is it Goose the Cat? We got this one is definitely on my pickup list. They're all looking pretty cool. I think they all look great. Personally, I'm going to pick up the Ireland one, and I'm going to pick up the Captain Marvel one. I'm going up to the London Toy Fair in a few weeks, and there's a mall nearby which does have a Lego store and a Disney store. So I was looking on the Lego, and I thought, well, to be honest, by the time I buy from Lego's website, they all take about a week to ship. Amazon didn't have it in stock. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just going to go in and buy them at the actual Lego store when I, because I only get to a Lego store maybe once or twice a year. Just like, yeah, I'll go in there and pick them up. I did look around my local toy store over the weekend to see if I could pick them up. They didn't have them. They didn't have any of the new sets. And they were still charging full price for everything. Because over the Christmas period, I got my wife got me the Anakin Skywalker, his Starfighter.
The Ada 2.
Yeah, so I was building that over Christmas. So I need to pick up a new set. I'm on the lookout for, like, it's like now I'm getting to that point. I like the big sets. I'm getting to that point now. Like, I prefer building the bigger ones. But I'm now waiting till they go on sale, because they know always go on sale 20-30% off very, very soon afterwards, especially. So I kind of missed out on a big TIE Fighter from the Solo set just before Christmas. It sold out by the time I clicked on the link, but they were all pretty cool.
I am probably going to try to pick up at least the Captain Marvel and the Inferno Squad this coming week when I'm at Disney Springs down in Florida. They've got a Lego store there. And if I remember correctly, it does take an annual pass 10% discount. It's one of the only Lego stores in the country where you can get a discount on regularly priced items. So you're right. They are going to go on sale relatively quickly. I imagine the Captain Marvel stuff will go on sale probably around the time that the movie comes out. But being able to get the 10% on a brand new one, I'll probably pick those two up.
It's like when I got to this place, because the Disney store and the Lego store are so close. Because of my Disney Life subscription, I get 10% off at the store. So I've done that in the past, just buying the Lego in the Disney store because I get the discount. So so that's always a good little tip. So so that was the Lego. So now let's jump into the video game world. So there was two kind of big things that happened really with the video game one. We'll start off with the aliens. Obviously, aliens are going to be part of Disney. I know, generally maybe not considered family friendly, but it's kind of, I'm sure they're going to be toning it down once they get full control over it. There was some tweets going out by the alien one saying, showing off Amanda Ripley, who was the main character from the Alien Isolation game. I never played that one. I kind of missed that one, but it did get kind of very good reactions. They're kind of teasing a second one, but they also saying hashtag read, watch, play or something like that. Those things.
It might be a multimedia blitz. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's so there's been a couple of rumors of alien games being created, like a multiplayer one, a shooter one. Code Iron Studios are working on something. So there could be a few things. This is great, to be honest, at the minute, of just any kind of video game from any kind of franchise from Disney at the minute is going to be great, because we're having so few of them. Obviously, once Fox is purchased, it's going to be interesting what happens with Fox. I'm not holding out too much hope for anything that Disney do with these ones, but Alien video game sounds good.
I have not played Alien Isolation either. However, it was a game I always kind of wanted to play, and I liked one of the implementations. It was one of the few good implementations of the Xbox Kinect was if you had that plugged in and you said something in real life, the alien could hear you in the game and would find you.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, I mean, it'd be frustrating, but it's an interesting level of immersion. Mm. And so this new game, whatever it will be, whether it's an Isolation sequel or I don't know what.
Yeah. I think it's in it. Huh? There's another term going around for, they trademarked some name. I think it was Black.
Either way. Yeah. Depending on where they decide to go with it, it could be very interesting. I gather that the second half of Isolation wasn't nearly as good as the first half. Like, the first half is where all the stalking is, where you have to hide from the alien, and then it turned into kind of a shooter game. The other thing I regret is that they never turned it into a VR game, because that seems like that would have been an amazing VR game. I know they started to, and then they canned that project. Yeah, but
I haven't got around to playing the like the Planet of the Apes VR one that they brought out, because I did get a PlayStation VR for Christmas. So I have been playing VR. I've been mainly playing Astrobot because that thing's amazing. I'm loving that game.
I picked that up. I haven't played it yet, but I heard it was amazing.
Yeah, it's good. And I even did the X-Wing Rogue One. I downloaded Battlefront again just so I could play the X-Wing one.
I did that too.
I did feel a little bit woozy while I was probably getting a little bit too sort of trigger happy while flying around around the Star Destroyer. I'm trying to take out other ships and go, and I was at a point, I just have to slow this shit down a little bit. Up till that point, I was fine, but I think I was flying around a little bit too loose and fast and going, yep, my body doesn't like this.
I think I might have had the same. When I got the VR headset, that was one of the first things I did. I also did the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare free download. You didn't need to have Call of Duty installed, it was just straight up free. But it was the same idea. It was fun. And that's mostly what I got the VR headset for in the first place, was those space combat shooter games. And yet, Astrobot, which I picked up on sale, I haven't played it yet. I've heard amazing things about that. And of course, you just gave it. And Moss last year, the game Moss is fantastic.
I picked up Moss in the PlayStation sale. Haven't got around to playing it yet. It was one of those things of, between Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Assassin's Creed Odyssey for Christmas, and I got the VR unit with like a mega pack, and then I kind of then had a load of downloads of stuff. I literally is like, of what do I play next? So I sort of like, I managed to finish off Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I probably shouldn't have started Assassin's Creed before I did some of the VR stuff, but I did two nights this week playing VR, and there's so much stuff there to play. And maybe I'm thinking along the lines of, I want to stretch this out a little bit, maybe not jump. I didn't want to run through all the experiences too quickly and just kind of jump in every, once or twice a week and just take it in slowly.
The one that I've been playing consistently has been Beat Saber. That game is crazy addictive.
Yeah, I've been looking at, because obviously it's kind of like a Star Wars thing, but I'll be honest, there is that part of me going, I haven't got the move controllers. Everywhere's sold out. I can't see.
I know. I picked up the Skyrim pack for VR. Yeah. It came with Skyrim, but I bought it specifically because it had the move controllers. I could care less about. I could not care less about Skyrim. Sorry for the people who care about what
I have got it. It was included in my bundle because I had this mega pack that had Astrobot, Skyrim, Doom, which was, I played about half an hour of that. That was good. The VR Worlds and also Wipeout. I've not even tried that one yet. So, and also I had a load of stuff on my PS Plus that I've been building up over the last year. But yeah, Skyrim, it's just one of those things. I think VR really kind of picked up over the year, kind of kept building. I think once it hit that £200, $200 mark, people started, like us, we jumped in. That hit that price point that we could do it. I was been looking for that Kingdom Hearts VR thing that I thought it was supposed to drop around Christmas, but I've not seen it yet.
I have not heard anything about that. I will definitely be trying it if and when it drops, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of, that's just reminded me really of... Because I thought it was supposed to be coming out for Christmas, but it didn't. But yeah, I think definitely VR now. I did download the Spider-Man one, but I haven't got around playing that yet. I've got so many experiences set up on to download to try, but I think Astrobot just took my attention away, and I was loving that. So Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I mean. You're talking about the price, which was, of course, a big deal, too. But this 2018 and really does feel like the year when VR kind of came into its own, when developers started to figure out what they could do with it.
Yeah.
Which has gotten us totally off topic from Aliens, but...
Yes. Yeah. So, jumping back into... it's not on the PlayStation Store, that Kingdom Hearts. I thought, hopefully, with the game coming out in... a couple of weeks. Can't believe it. Kingdom Hearts 3 is out in a few weeks. So looking forward to that. And so, yeah, new video game was announced this week by a brand new company called Second Dinner, which is been created by five different ex-Blizzard members who've been working on Hearthstone, a digital card game which had been a massive success. It's been a huge success for Blizzard. So they've announced that they've created this company. They've announced that they've got funding for Marvel. It was kind of quite a... they kind of tweeted out, they put out this video of them just doing an office tour and kind of asking for people to contact them because they've got a few job vacancies. It was very un-Marvel like announcement. It was, I'm sort of thinking, is this an official announcement? Like watching it. Yeah. And then they put out, Marvel put out an official tweet. And I'm like, okay, that's the most weirdest way of, I've seen Marvel normally kind of come in heavy hitter. It's like, yeah, it's like, how far along are they? They're in the prototype mode. This is very, I mean, maybe they're just trying to get ahead of the game and get ahead of the curve and kind of do it. But you don't normally see Marvel do this.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't really have much to say about it. It's just, it's so uncharacteristic. Yeah. But maybe that's a good thing. Yeah. It might also just be, you know, it's them trying something a little bit different, or considering how kind of behind the curve they are on some of this stuff right now, maybe they're just like, whatever we can to get some publicity going.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think it's not a bad idea just to come out and say, like, we're working on a game, we're working on the prototype. It might be a while, because I know this is this thing with video games that people don't like being told too far in advance of what's coming out and, you know, delays and all the rest of it. But in the movie world and TV world, we all know what's coming up years in advance. So it's like, if they come out now and they just say, well, we're working on a Marvel game. But in some ways, it kind of lets them like be left alone because of the fact of, oh yeah, you're working on a Marvel game. There's no more secrecy. They don't have to hide it. They can show off bits and pieces. Now, whether or not this is going to be a new digital card game, I'm guessing so. I'm guessing that's probably, you know, if these five guys have made that game, Hearthstone or something like that?
Hearthstone.
That's their expertise. Does kind of instantly say to me, Battle Lines, you know, if they could get a couple of years in it, but Battle Lines doesn't seem to have kind of taken off the way I thought it was going to.
I didn't expect it to take off at all, honestly. No. But also, I mean, I realize that Battle Lines bills itself kind of as a card game, but it's not a card game, not in the sense that, say, Hearthstone is. And this would be more like, God, what was that game called? Way back in the day, it was like Marvel Overpower or something like that. It was like a Magic the Gathering style game. So that is something more along the lines I would expect here, but built from the ground up as a digital card game.
I mean, Star Wars Destiny is a card of course game that I play and stuff that, yeah, is that kind of thing of like a digital version of that one. So it's interesting to see what they're doing. Marvel definitely seem to be kind of trying different things and trying out different things. The fact that they've got these guys doing it, I'm expecting a card game. But who knows? Could be a few years before we see it. It does look like it's going to be a mobile version and stuff. So that's kind of to be expected from these kind of things. But yeah, so that was that kind of the week, really. It was a bit of an odd week. It was that kind of thing of obviously New Year's Eve and New Year's Day kind of meant that the first half of the week there wasn't really anything. And then I think a lot of people came back to work and started sending out information. And I'm expecting from today onwards, we're kind of back to normality. Everyone's kind of got that Christmas bit out the way and get back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you're going on vacation. So
I'm going on vacation after I got back from vacation. This was not planned well on my half. But in fairness, it's because this is the Disney marathon weekend. And I signed up for it long before I knew my November and October and December were going to be absolutely packed. So, but whatever, I'm going to go. I'll have fun. And that has nothing to do with the news. So, I think that's that.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us in this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. You can follow us, etc., on like Twitter and Facebook to keep up with all of our latest news, subscribe, etc. James, where can they find you?
You can find me heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.